Welcome to the experience.
Left channel. Right channel.
Welcome to the experience.
Left channel. Right channel.
Hi, this is Mark, and welcome back to the Candle Shore Podcast. This is show number 23. The title of today's show is The Perfect Phone. You know, I recently purchased a new phone, cell phone, and I'm starting to realize that there may be a lot of people out there who are not familiar or aware of all the accessible phones that are now available for people with low vision or no vision. So I wanted to go over a couple of things with you to maybe enlighten you to some current technology. So that's what we're going to do today. You know, I've had a cell phone since the early 1990s, and during that time, I think my first phone was a Motorola. Most of my phones have been Motorolas. As a low vision person, of course, in the old days, you could only put in 9 or 10 telephone numbers. So it was pretty easy to put a number in and assign it to a speed dial number, which was basically 0, or I don't know if it's 0 or something, but definitely 1 through 9. But as the phones became more complex, you could add more contacts, more telephone numbers per contact item. And even with a good memory, it became very difficult if you can't see the phone book in the cell phone to keep track of what number you're trying to call. So your choice was, of course, to either memorize all the numbers or to assign speed dial numbers. The problem with the speed dial numbers is unless you call the people often, eventually when you have 30, 40, 50, and as the capacity of the phones increase, there's no way you can remember. You'd forget which person was assigned to which speed dial number. And that was a limitation of the phone. And as phones added more features, such as calculators, some basic rudimentary calendars, a few games here and there, some alarm features, to a person with low vision or no vision, it was virtually inaccessible. So we had to be content with dialing the phone, which I guess for some people is just fine, because that's why you buy a phone, just to dial numbers. Who needs all the bells and whistles? But we didn't have access to it, as our sighted counterparts did. And it made life a little difficult, but that's the way it used to be. As time went on, Motorola and a few other vendors added voice commands to the phone. Voice commands meaning you press a button on the side of the phone, or some button, and you would issue some very basic commands, such as the word dial, followed by a phone number. And I'm condensing a lot of history into just very simple statements so we can move forward. It didn't all happen in one model of phone. Okay, this came about over a series of phones. Or a command like call, followed by a name. And this was a breakthrough for low vision people, because it meant now, assuming that you could get your contacts into the phone book, your phone numbers with first name, last name, into the phone book with sighted assistance, you could dial the numbers independently using the name. Of course, it's speech recognition. So some people have problems with speech recognition, that is to say, having the phone recognize what you're saying. That's a challenge for some people if you have a particular accent or you don't speak within the tonal range of the software. But it was still better than nothing. And then Motorola introduced, and I believe they were the first ones to do this on their V710, what we call the verbal phone book. And it allowed the user, again, with sighted assistance, putting the information into the phone, as you moved through up and down the contact list, it would read out the names And not very well either, let me just say this, not very well, but enough to be understood. And that was a breakthrough. And so Motorola and the phones that followed, companies that followed it, really turned their attention to accessibility. Somewhere along the way, though, that changed. Motorola started taking features away, I suppose because they weren't very popular, maybe they weren't requested. I'm not exactly sure what happened with that. In this particular era I'm discussing, the years that I'm thinking about, most cell phones at this time were proprietary technology. So a Motorola phone would have an operating system that was specific to the Motorola phones. An Ericsson or a Nokia or an LG, same thing. Proprietary operating systems that really couldn't be, in order for to have any accessibility, you'd have to go through the company that created it, which means it had to be approved by them. And then came the PDAs and the smartphones. Now, I'm not going to describe the differences between a PDA and a smartphone, but let me just say what a smartphone is. It is a cell phone that has a lot of PDA features, such as an interactive web browser. You can actually surf the web on it. And it has a calendar, full-fledged. I'm going to use an example, an Outlook calendar, assuming that you're running on Windows Mobile platform. They can have word processors, a media player. You can run cameras. All the phones have cameras now. And it can do some pretty impressive thing. So it's running an operating system just like a PC. There are three or four major operating systems for smartphones. Everyone's heard of Palm, the Palm OS. Windows Mobile, different versions starting Windows Mobile. There was Windows CE, now we're in Windows Mobile 3, Windows Mobile 5, and soon to be released will be Windows Mobile 6, which I think is in beta right now. And then, of course, the Symbian phones, which very nice operating system. So these, and just for the record, Motorola is due to release a phone that's based on Linux, I think in the next couple of months. So now you have companies that are producing cell phones, let's call them smartphones, that are running full-fledged operating systems, that the same operating systems that you would find on a notebook or desktop computer. Now, what does this mean for a low vision person? It means now that just like with desktops and notebooks, we should have the ability to have a screen reader. Now, I think the three big players in the screen reading market, and I'm not necessarily talking about screen magnifiers. There are several screen magnifiers as well. But, again, screen magnifiers on a cell phone doesn't seem to mean much to me. Even if you magnify the screen, you still have a very small area for a cell phone. So I guess you'd end up holding the phone, you know, right up to your eyes or something. So I'm really more focused on screen reading because to me it makes more sense. The three big players in the PC market, and I'm not referring to the Apple operating system, would be Freedom Scientific's JAWS, HumanWare's WindowEyes, and Dolphin's HAL. These are three big players. They're all very good. You can go to a place on the web, NFB, Access World. You can go to Access World magazine and do some reviews on those. But since the introduction of smartphones, and it now means that we have companies that are getting into this market that are now providing screen reading software for smartphones. And it's really an exciting time because if they do their jobs correctly, it now means that a low vision / blind person can have the same accessibility to a telephone, a cell phone, that you'd have on your PC, and it means that we now can have access to the entire use of the phone, including the camera. Now, obviously, it can't tell you how to point the camera and how to aim it, but in terms of the controls that come on the screen, for those of us who are low vision, who have some vision to use the camera, even that is accessible. So it really is an exciting time. So who are the three big players in smartphone screen reading accessibility? The first one that I'm going to list here is by a company called Code Factory, and the name of the software is called Mobile Speak. Nuance, which also owns Dragon Naturally Speaking, or Dragon Dictate, has a software package that is running a program called Talks. That's their product, their flagship product for PDA / smartphone screen reading. And Dolphin Systems has just got into the market. They've just thrown their hat into the ring with Smart HAL. So we got a lot of competition, which is great. Competition is good. And for those of you who do know the following, I'll just throw this out there. I'm told by Nuance that they are going to be releasing a version of Talks soon that will run on Windows Mobile 5 or 6. I guess when I talked to him, I don't think I was specific. I think we just talked about the Windows platform, because there are definite advantages to running Windows Mobile when you are running Windows Vista or XP in terms of compatibility. You just have some inherent nice features. There are some drawbacks too, and that's not the subject for this podcast, so I won't get into that right now. But there's a lot of neat things coming down the pipeline. So what does having screen reading accessibility mean on a smartphone? What it means is, I'm just going to give you some examples. It means that I'm a big fan of the flip phones, okay? I'll tell you, my current phone today, just purchased it, and I love it, is the Singular 3125. The Singular 3125. It's a great phone. It's running Windows Mobile 5. It's by a created. It's branded for Singular, but the company who makes it is HTC. That's H for Henry, T for Taylor, C for Charlie, Incorporated, and they're coming out of Taiwan. And they do not sell directly to the United States, but of course they do make PDAs, very successful PDAs, and some very successful smartphones. Rumor mill have it that they may be releasing some phones independent of other companies directly to us, since they're getting more and more popular, but that remains to be seen. Anyway, that's the phone I'm using. It's running Windows Mobile 5, and it's a flip phone. Let me digress and say this. I've noticed that there are generally two types of cell phone users, those who like flip phones and those who don't. I am a flip phone fan, and probably to a fault, because I would rather wait for a flip phone that does what I want than to have one that doesn't, which probably kept me from investing in the Symbian phones up to this point, but I wanted to wait for a flip. So, okay, there you have it. So, getting back to what I was saying, what does this mean? It means that when the phone rings, for example, if you have a screen reading software on there, and the one I have on my smartphone is the one by Code Factory. It's called Mobile Speak. And it can announce, for example, the caller ID. If you open up the flip phone on all smartphones, most of the smartphones, I won't say all, because there's going to be those of you who say, no, he's wrong. And of course, let me get one more thing straight. Let me throw in that a BlackBerry, the Trio, those aren't smartphones. Those are PDAs with smartphones built in. There's a difference between having a phone. Anytime you have anytime you have a device that has a QWERTY keyboard, it is not considered, and this is what I'm told by Microsoft, for those of you who want to disagree with me, they don't consider that a smartphone. It's a phone, obviously, because you can dial with it, but the function, it's lending itself more towards email and text messaging. And it may run smartphone software, but according to Microsoft, and I just got off the phone with them last week because I wanted to really delve into the subject before I brought it up to you. So I'm using the term smartphone loosely with regards to PDA. So those of you who have a QWERTY keyboard say, no, I have a smartphone. Yes, I know you're running smartphone software. But getting back to what I'm saying, in my mind, anyway, a smartphone is that phone that has a standard numeric keyboard, a touchpad, just like you'd have on a telephone. Okay. So anyway, you open up this, and most of the devices that have a, you know, the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, *0#, they always have a home key and a back key. So what would I do? I open up the flip phone, and there are a series of commands. These commands would allow me to have screen access. One command, for example, let's say *#, will read the entire screen. Tell me the time, the date, any missed calls, any text messages. And of course, this is completely configurable. I may press *1, for example, to get the time. Just to give you an example, to give you more examples. If I press the, we all know that in Windows there's always a good old start menu. If you press the start button, left soft key, it will read all of the icons that that a sighted person sees on the display. So as you go down, you know, you might see settings, Internet Explorer, File Explorer, things like that. So this is how the basic function of the phone. You interface with the phone by using the home key. And I haven't seen talk, so I don't know Nuance's system. They may use a different system. But I pretty much figure they're probably close to the same. It's a series of commands that are very intuitive, and it's not as though you have to learn 1,000 commands to make the phone do what it needs to do. The main thing is that everything that's on this phone, the buttons are all read out loud so you know where they are and what you need to do to access them. And that is a wonderful thing. Believe me. Now, again, referring to Smart Hal and Mobile Speak, I have not dealt with Talks, the one by Nuance, so what I'm about to say. The Mobile Speak, it's all about getting a voice reading something to you out of the phone. It's getting information out of the phone. But what if you could combine that voice command feature with the Mobile Speak or the Hal or the Talks? Then you'd have a phone that not only will read the screen to you, but that you can also press a button and speak to the phone to get information. And that is what Microsoft's voice command allows us to do. Some models of smartphones will come with voice command already installed. But if it doesn't, if you're assuming that you're running Windows Mobile now, everything I'm saying is based on Windows Mobile. At present time, I think it's only $40 to download the voice command software installed on the phone. And then you can now do the same thing you could do in the old days with the Motorola, which is press a button on the phone and say, call, let's say, Mark Taylor, or dial 1-800-555-1212. With the current version of voice command, you can say things like, what is the battery level? Now again, the screen reading software will tell you these things, but you have to enter commands to make it happen. With the voice command installed along with the screen reading, you simply press one button and in essence ask the phone the question and it responds with the answer. You can say certain things like, what are my upcoming appointments? What is my meeting schedule? What are my meetings for tomorrow? You can say things, just a lot of things, and they're adding more and more each day. So, between the two programs, whatever two they are, it really does give you a fully functioning phone that is current and up to date with the sighted counterparts who are using it. And obviously you can turn these software features off at any time and let anyone else use the phone. So it's not like the phone has been so configured that no one else except a low vision / blind person can use it. Okay, let's talk carriers and prices. The smartphones, I think, currently, as of today, time of this podcast, T-Mobile doesn't offer any smartphones. They do offer PDAs. with phone abilities, what you can call out on. But they don't own any smartphones with a standard keypad. But Verizon, Sprint, Singular, offer smartphones, a lot of them. It depends on your plan. If you're going to have to buy retail, you can expect to pay anywhere from, $30 up to $500, depending on the phone that you buy and whether you're already a customer, whether your contract's running out. And I think anyone who's ever dealt with a cell phone company, a wireless company, certainly understands what I'm saying. So that's just going to be up to it. But the main thing is make sure it's running the operating system for the software that you know you're going to want to install. I suggest you go to the websites first. You can Google any three of them, all three of the ones I've listed here, or you can go to Access World and read about them. And then on each of the sites, it gives you the phone compatibilities. The prices for the software, I guess it's all relative. It runs between, and I'm not talking about the phone now, because when you buy the phone, it already has Windows Mobile, it will already have Symbian, it will already have Linux, so that's not a problem. But the screen reading software is what we're talking about now. And right now it runs between $250 to $300, which is, I guess for some people, is kind of pricey. But when you measure that against the ability to use the phone independent of a sighted person and to not have to memorize everything, it's a pretty small price to pay. The voice command feature, and again, this is for Windows Mobile phones that don't ship with it, and I don't know about the Symbian operating system, but assuming that if you want that feature on your phone, and some people don't like voice recognition, I love it, it works well for me, but it may not work well for you, but anyway, if you have to purchase it, you can go to voicecommand.com. I think that's what it is. Just voicecommand.com, or it may be Microsoft. Maybe it's Microsoft.com/voicecommand. That's it. So www.microsoft.com/voicecommand. And you can read all about that. And I think the current price right now is $40. I think it's $39.95 or something, but I pay $40. And you can just, it takes less than a minute to install it. It's very simple. So there are a lot of neat things that are available to us. Look, in the end, sometimes people, I talk to people about cell phones, and they say, Mark, all I want is a phone to make a phone call, just to make a simple phone call. And that's fine. If you're that kind of person where you just want a phone to make a basic phone call, then any phone's going to meet your needs. However, if you want a phone that can store all your contacts, be really, in essence, be a personal assistant to you, then the smartphones are definitely the way to go. They're going to be a little bit more expensive. And so that's the, it really depends on what you're trying to do and how you want to use your phone. Remember that in the end, it's what you're comfortable with, but don't be afraid to experiment. I think that's some of the problems with people, myself included, is we always are a little bit timid about what we don't know. The technology is here. And there will come a time when a smartphone with screen reading accessibility will be as common to the, I'll say, blind community as a microwave is. It's just we're on the threshold of some really wonderful things, and it's hard to get the word out that it's here, it's affordable, and it's doable. You don't have to be a genius to use it. So that's what I'm really trying to get across to all of you, and if you know people who might benefit from it, pass this information along. If there's any more information I can give you, by all means, send me an email. That's all for this show. That's just all I want to do, a bit more of an informational show. My name is Mark Taylor, and if you want to subscribe to this podcast, I hope you'll do so at feeds.feedburner.com. You can go directly to the blog at what did I say about the subscription? Go to feeds.feedburner.com/candleshore to subscribe to the blog, to the podcast. Oh, my. I always get confused at this. Those of you who know me know I always get confused at this point. You can go directly to the blog at candleshoreblog.com. For all things Candleshore, you can go to www.candleshore.com. And I'm hoping you'll send me an email. I'd love to hear from you at musicman@candleshore.com. Remember to make a joyful noise this week, and I'll see you back here again soon. Take care. Bye-bye.